Shalom, everyone. We are in Nisivo Shalom on Parshat Shoftim. Before we begin, I want to very much thank today's sponsors. This week's shiur is generally sponsored anonymously by a longtime alum in honor of Rosh Chodesh Elul. Thank you so much. It's also generously sponsored anonymously by someone who I had the schus of learning with once a few years ago, and has been with the chat since, and they are sponsoring it in the schus that our learning, that in the schus of our learning, there should be clarity and or answers to all of our tefillos, and refuah tanefesh for all those who are in need in Klal Yisrael. There's a third person who reached out. I don't know if they were following through on the sponsorship or not. If they are, you'll get this one and next one, and if it's for anything in particular, we will note it in the next year. Thank you to all of our sponsors. I know it seems like it's just a line, but the sponsorships really do keep the shiurim going. Why is that? That's my cheshbon, don't worry about it. But they really do keep the shiurim going in a very literal way. So thank you to all of our sponsors, and it is in your schlus that we are learning, and Yirtzeh Hashem, our learning should help all of us go into this week's Parshat Shoftim, and I already checked, it also goes into issues of Elul as we get ready to enter into this, Yirtzeh Hashem, this brand new year, to prepare for the brand new year. So thank you again to all three of you, and to your schlus. So let's go. We are in Nisivo Shalom Parshat Shoftim on page Tzadi Tet, the first piece on Shoftim, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha. Says the Nisivo Shalom, quoting the first pasuk of the Parsha, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha she'er Hashem elokecha noten lach. The Torah tells us that we should put judges and officers in all of our gates, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to you. So says the Nisivo Shalom, Sarich Bior, we need to understand. Omro titein lecha b'chol she'arecha b'lashon yachid. When the Parsha tells us this, when the Torah tells us this, it says to give you in all of your gates, but it says it lecha b'chol she'arecha b'lashon yachid. It says it to the individual. Why doesn't it say it in the plural? She'mitzvat minoy hadayanim hi mitzvah hamutelat al harabim. Because if we're talking about the literal requirement to establish judges in a court system, that's on the rabim, that's in plural. So why is the pasuk here stating it, that you individually shall place in your individual gates? V'ita al zeh me'agon hakadosh, Rabbi Chaim Vital, one of the greatest Kabbalists ever lived, Rabbi Chaim Vital says, V'chein katav b'shla kadosh, and the shla kadosh also says in old svarim kadoshim, diyesh le'adam kama she'arim, top of the next page, that a person has many, many different she'arim, many, many different gates. I took a glance at this piece before we started, and for those of you who have been with us on the chat for a while, we talk about these issues in the first piece on Elul. For those of you who have been in my Night Seder Shirim, it incorporates pieces, you'll go back, it's a good time to reach back and to reach those places. From the pitch shir that I give in Tiferet every year, where we talk about the gates, it links all of these things together, which we've talked about in many different forums with many ones of you over the years. And I don't think I've done it in this piece before, so I'm seeing this piece with fresh eyes, and at the same time, we're doing Chazara, but hopefully from a new perspective, and let's take in what he's saying here as we again gear up, both for the Parsha and to prepare to close out the year and prepare for the new year. He says that we have many, many different sha'arim. We have many, many different gates. Sha'ar Hara'ot, Sha'ar, Sha'ar Hara'ot, Sha'ar Hashama, Sha'ar Hareach, Sha'ar Hadibor, V'Sha'ar Hamishush. We have five different gates, the five senses. They're the gates of what comes into my inner world. There's the gate of my eyes. There's the gate of my hearing. There's the gate of my sense of smell. There's the gate of my mouth and my speech. And there's the gate of my sense of touch. And says the Nisivo Shalom, quoting the Shla, quoting Rav Chaim Vital and many other Svarim, V'tzarich she'yaaseh adam be'atzmo dayan al kol inyanav v'yipakeach inav. That a person needs to be their own dayan, their own judge on all of these areas. To be careful, to open up their eyes. V'zeshen emar titein lecha lashon yachid. That's why it's in the singular. Shemadaber lecho adam Yisrael. It's not just talking about the requirement to establish court systems in Eretz Yisrael by every single gate of every single city. It's talking to every single one of us from all time. We need to make officers and judges in our gates, our personal gates. Our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, our sense of touch. All the ways in which things come into our being, into our sense of self. She'igdor geder b'chol she'arav v'chule. That we make sure that there's a fence in all areas. I'm going to keep going forward and then we'll unpack a little bit. There's a lot to say here. Let's see where he goes. I want to let him speak first. U'kedi'ita b'sfarim ha'kadoshim. Sheish Badam Zayin Sharei Dilugalata. As the Sfarim bring down, there's seven openings. There's seven gates in the head. Tre Ainin, Vitre Odnin, Tre Shnei Nikve Hachotam Vape. Two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, and a mouth. Seven Sha'arim. We have seven Sha'arim in the Rosh. Seven gates in the head. V'alze Amra Torah. And this is what the Torah is talking about when it says, Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol sha'arecha. That you have to put officers and judges in all of your gates. Shiyudi yarim et kol sha'arei ha'ivarim alalu bilti la'ashem levado. That a person raise up every single one of these aspects of their being, every single one of these parts of themselves, only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you dedicate these to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do you commit these to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Through the process of Al Yidei Shoftim V'Shotrim Titein Lecha, by placing judges and officers. Shelechol Eilu HaShe'arim Sarich Yehudi Lemanot Al Atzmo Shoftim V'Shotrim. That on all of these gates, a Jew needs to appoint for him or herself judges and officers. Kol habata shiyudi mabit be'einav tzarich lidon lehitbonein maratzon Hashem shireo ma'eino l'ratzon Hashem. When it comes to the eyes, a person needs to reflect on. Welcome. Got one in person. When it comes to our eyes, we need to reflect on what are we supposed to be looking at and what are we not supposed to be looking at. Yesh habata shel mitzvah, there's gazing at things that are a mitzvah. V'yesh re'iyah shel isur, and there's looking at things that are asur. V'yesh nam riyot ha-mutarot, and there's even things which are mutar to look at. V'tzarich ladun b'chol habata le'ezu sug shayechati. We have to think by all of them, what shayach? He's going to keep going, I'm sure, with each one. But let's unpack it outside a little bit now on our own. There's so much here to think about. There's so much here to reflect on. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha. We have to put officers and judges in all of our gates. All of these aspects, these zayin sha'arei degulgelata, these seven gates of the head, if we think about it, and he includes here, essentially, the other piece in Parshat, I think it's Ki Teitze. He doesn't include the sense of touch, which I'm glad he does here, because that's the only one that he leaves out. There's seven gates of the head, and there's also the sense of touch. But if you think about it, these seven gates of the head, every single thing, very literally, everything that comes inside of your body has to come derech one of those openings, derech one of those sha'arim. It's not just a cute idea. Nothing in Torah is a cute idea. It's all deep Torahs, right? But it's not just a cute idea that there's seven openings in the head. That's how everything comes into us. That's how everything comes inside of us. There's no other normal way into the body if it doesn't come through the eyes, the ears, the nose, or the mouth, or the sense of touch. And there it's not even coming in the same way. But that's how it comes in. And what that means is, when we really reflect on that, he talked about here, lehit bonim, we have to reflect. What that means is, everything that I am is all coming from those input sources. My mind has the ability to process, to think, to work through, to sift. Right? Dat and Bina are incredibly linked together. Dat and Havdalah are incredibly linked together. That's why Chonein Ladat has the bracha of Havdalah in it on Motzei Shabbos. Meaning we use our mind to discern between things. But if there's no input, there's nothing to discern. There's nothing to distinguish between. And what our minds are doing when we're fighting in a world of a post-Eitz Hadat Tovara, where there's an intermingling of Tov and Ra, we're constantly struggling to think about, is this Tov, is it Ra, what do I do? Do I elevate it, do I reject it, do I incorporate it, do I engage it, do I not engage it? But the only way that something gets into that equation in the first place, it has to come inside. And in the most reflective of spaces, these are the gates. This determines what comes inside of me. If you're thinking about a Torah concept, it's because you went to a shir or you heard it. If you're thinking about a song, as we'll talk about, L'tovu L'ra, if you're thinking about a song, it's because you heard it. If you're deciding whether or not you should ask that boy out or ask that girl out, 9 out of 10 times it's because you saw them, whether you should have been looking or not. Or you heard about them because somebody wanted to make a shidduch. But it has to, my point, no matter what it is, it has to come in from somewhere. Even a person who has, it's hard to even say the words, it hurts me to say the words. A person has a taiva for soda, right? It hurts me to even say the words out of my mouth. But it came up, but they gave out an avo subanim. So the guy knows who runs avo subanim that my kids can't have this kind of stuff. So he usually tries. And he put out his, after avo subanim, they gave out cans of Coke afterward. And I looked at him and I was like, it's just liquid sugar and caffeine. You couldn't have even tried? And he laughed. He said, yeah, I know. I apologize. But I knew when I bought it, you were going to say something. But I'm saying a person has a type of... Nobody looks at a disgusting, I don't even know what color it is, brownish colored, bubbly liquid that looks like the poison that it is and goes, I really want to try that. No, a person gets addicted to the sugar and the taste and the caffeine, meaning it has to come in first, and then we process, and then we react. But our relationship to everything comes in first, and what he's saying here is so powerful, and he may say it more deeply later on. Again, I've heard him say this in different pieces, in Elul, and in Kitetze, but I'm only repeating what he says throughout Nisivo Shalom. We have to really reflect on this, because everything who we are comes in through these gates. And when we're thinking about who we want to be, and any meaningful change that we want to make in terms of our internal world, the alphabet of how to do that is that we need to reflect on what's coming into that internal space to be processed in and of itself. And that's an incredibly deep reflection. To stop for a second on this parsha, and to go step by step, piece by piece, and to reevaluate, this is it. That's why it puts us in Elul also. This is your annual review. The guards and the judges of your eyes are up for their annual review this week on the 1st of Elul. The judges and the officers of your ears are up for their annual review this week on Rosh Chodesh Elul. In a healthy and appropriate way, depending on where you're holding. The judges and officers of your mouth, on what you're saying and also what you're eating, they're up for annual review. Negiah's up for annual review. Now is the time. Now is the time. Because what comes into me is what becomes part of that internal world. He started with eyes. We need to have gates. We don't need that. We have gates called our eyes. What are we letting in those gates? Think about the cheshbonot, the calculations that we make the entire year. And over the course of the year, what we're really doing, and it's the nature of Rosh Hashanah, is that Rosh Hashanah really sets the tempo. It sets the status quo. It sets the baseline. And when it's natural, it's human nature that we're always navigating around the baseline. But it's 11 months later from when we set that baseline. And it might be that we checked in with the guards and the officers and the judges of our eyes over the last 11 months. And it may even be that through monthly reviews, we tightened up the gates and less things got through that we don't want to get through. But I hate to say this and I apologize because I know that the job market is very tough now. But it might be the time to fire them. It might be the time to hire somebody better. It might be the time to decide that this is not an appropriate guard. What comes into my eyes is so much more precious to me than I realized a year ago. And these officers and these judges don't cut it. The gates that I put up are not strong enough. They're not high enough. This is the time to be thinking about it. What's coming in through my eyes? Really reflect. If I'm watching things if I'm streaming things, what is my criteria for what I'm choosing to watch? What was my criteria a year ago, and is it the same criteria that I have now? Is it the rating that is arbitrarily given by these companies who constantly shift under our feet what's permitted and what's not permitted based on entirely arbitrary, meaningless, and again, shifting secular values? Because the R of 2023 is not the R of 1999, I'll tell you that much. It's constantly moving and never in a good direction. Is it going on? As I've mentioned many times in the past, I'm a big fan of this if you're going to watch something. Going on to IMDb and going and checking it in the Internet Movie Database and going and finding where it says parental guidance. And you click there and there are, I don't know who they are, there are a bunch of these OCD Mormons who are sitting there their whole life and writing down ad nauseum every single inappropriate thing that occurs in every single show, every minute. And at least saying it. And even then, I remember I mentioned this story more explicitly in the past. There was a particular show that was recommended to me by a family member. So I went to IMDb and I clicked on it to see if I could watch it. I had to go to mikveh after reading the IMDb page. And I'm like, what were you thinking suggesting that to me? I had to go to mikveh. It was awful. So is it, meaning, but that's also a question of eyes. Should I even be going to that page? And if I see that it's a list of 15 things, don't read the 15 things. That means it's game over. Just click X, move along, don't watch the show. But those are reflections. Those are real reflections. When I'm looking on the internet, man, woman, child, adult, senior citizen, I don't care. Do I have an internet filter? It's usher bizman hazeh to have an access to internet without an internet filter. Because even the cleanest person can't avoid the dirt of the internet. And when I go in there and I go into screen time on my iPhone, or I go into my restrictions on my internet filter, or whatever it is, maybe go back this time of year and check my gates. Where did I make those restrictions? What limitations did I set or not set? And should I be adding? When I'm walking down the street, what streets do I walk down? What do I look at? Where am I focused? And it's not all necessarily like, there's different ways to look at it. There's different ways to relate to it. I've told this story before, I know also, but it really, really impacted me. So it was another one of these, why my Rebbe is my Rebbe type of stories. So my Rebbe was with me the day before my wedding. It's 15 years ago, almost to the day. He was there the day before my wedding in New York. We were walking around. And we were talking, we were schmoozing the day before my wedding. And we were walking through the streets of Manhattan. I'd never been with him in Manhattan before. I don't think. It's hard to walk around in the summertime in Manhattan. It's hard to walk around, you know, in a way that's clean to be able to see things. And he didn't close his eyes. He didn't take his glasses off. He was pointing out the beautiful architecture on the older buildings and lamenting over the new buildings that are all just cookie cutter and don't care about the beauty of the architecture. He was commenting on the sky and the trees and the birds. He was doing exactly what I connect him over and why I look up to him, is he didn't take his glasses off and look down. He didn't notice all the tumah because he was busy looking up, literally and metaphorically. And that's why he's my Rebbe, but that's a cheshbon of sha'arim of the eyes. And I'll tell you, on the flip side, this is interesting, and this is a long time ago, and this is, you know, 15 years ago, and already he was in this space. So we went to go and schmooze before the wedding in Central Park, and we're sitting by one of the lakes there, and there was a guy sitting in a boat, and he had his shirt off, and he was covered in tattoos. And he was not Jewish, but it says in the Torah, you can't have a tattoo, and it was just so, to him, so aberrant to him to see that. He said, we need to go somewhere else, I can't have this in front of my eyes, I don't want it. You see somebody who guards their eyes in a way that's so much deeper than just the way that yeshiva guys only focus on post-yeshiva. There's usually only one topic they think about, and that's it, and this is another way to think about that topic. I'm saying that there's a larger, broader spectrum here in terms of really thinking about, in deeper ways, in more meaningful ways, in more thoughtful ways, what's coming into my eyes? To judge in a new way, and maybe appoint new judges, and to appoint better officers, because some things got by this past year. To think about our ears, right? That's the next thing he's talking about here. Ukemokin bishmia. Yishmia shel mitzvah b'divrei Torah v'chidome v'yishmia shel iser. There's listening to things of Torah and listening to things that are aser. V'yishna shmia shel heter, and there's things that are mutter. V'tzarik tamid liponin b'mesh sheshomea. What are we listening to? Ha'im ekayim baza mitzvah o'ver avirachas v'shalom. That's in our hearing, in our ears. And again, so many ways to approach this. As we've talked about so many times, those have been in my shiurim before. And I'm always evaluating this. When it comes to music, do I listen to awful secular music with all kinds of curses and disgusting lyrics to them and just pretend I don't understand? I mean, I'm not paying attention to the words, so it doesn't matter. And it could be I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you not to watch Netflix, and I'm not telling you not to watch Hulu. I may wonder why you're really putting in the effort to watch Peacock, but fine. But I'm saying, I'm not telling you what to watch or what not to watch. That's up to you. I'm not telling you what to listen to or not to listen to. I'm just giving you things to reflect on. For myself also, very much this time of year. Very, very much. Talking to all of us. I'm just the one who happens to be yelling at the screen for Zoom, so I'm the one who's speaking, but it's to all of us. So when it comes to hearing, do I want to listen to disgusting things and say, okay, I don't understand them, so whatever. Do I say, no, I have a higher bar. only clean secular music. Only clean secular music. Now's the time to reevaluate. Do I even want clean secular music? Those of you who know me that I'm very particular about music. For me, you learn about what music's about, that music comes from the soul, from the neshama of the menagin. It comes from their inner essence. And even if the words are technically clean, personally, and I'm not telling you what to do at all, I'm giving you my reflections. I don't want the soul of some non-Jew singing in a clean way about how he wants to have a physical relationship with some other non-Jew that will last 15 minutes before he moves on to the next one, entering into my soul. I don't want that. I don't want that. Doesn't interest me. Even going on to Jewish music, I always make the joke, you can listen to Jewish music or you can listen to good Jewish music. And there's a lot to think about there also. Same thing, there's Jewish music that may as, excuse me for being so blunt, but it's the time of year to be blunt. There's Jewish music that may as well be secular music. It's just an excuse, and again, for some people, good for you. If you're like, okay, but I was listening to secular and I switched to Jewish, and at least the lyrics are Jewish, and this is filling that void. And I'm telling you right now, with no asterisks, that's amazing. That's amazing. But if that's not where you're at, do you need music that's just secular music with Jewish words? Do you want to get to know who the Baal Menagin is? This one I can say, I feel comfortable saying publicly because he said it on a podcast. I was listening, I thought like, you know, okay, this is my crazy intensity. It's good. I at least have a friend in crazy intensity. So Eitan Katz, so he said in a podcast, my wife sent it to me, so I assume it was Meaningful People because I don't listen to it often. So there was the Meaningful People podcast. I think that was what it was on. And he talked about, very much in detail there, I find it and listen to it. It's like at the hour mark. Like it's really, it's buried in the middle of it. He talked about a different artist who he doesn't connect to, who, by the way, I do connect to if you listen to the podcast. I happen to connect to that other artist, and I listen to him. And I don't think he was critiquing, I don't think he was judging him. I think he was just reflecting on his music. But then he talked about it. He said that there are many, many nigunim that he's written that he's never going to release because he makes a cheshbon by every nigun. When I bring a nigun down, said Eitan Katz, is it just me expressing myself? That doesn't belong to anybody else. Who wants what's going on inside of me? Or am I bringing something down from Shemayim that I was being given as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give to everybody else? That for me is like, done, added to playlist, the end, nothing to talk about. Meaning, do you want to get to know, that's already a much more intense way of looking at it, but there's levels here. I'm not telling you which is the right level. Who are your judges to decide what's coming into your ears? Who are your judges? And who are the officers that are actually, you know, mitigating that over the course of the year? So I told you, I mean this very honestly, I'm always making this one of myself. If you go on to my YouTube, I almost never watch YouTube. I just listen to YouTube. But I listen to YouTube for a solid chunk of the day in the background or else I just get bored. I like to have stuff in the background to like process simultaneously while I'm doing other things. And it looks like a mess. It looks like a jumble that is what's going on in my brain. And some of it's meaningful and some of it's not. And some of it's useful and some of it's not. And some of it's fun and some of it's, you know, to decompress and some of it's to think. And 2 weeks ago, I upped the restrictions on my phone. And I can't get into anything useless on my phone or not kadosh. It's mutter, but not kadosh on my phone until 11 o'clock. And I sat down for breakfast, knowing that this is exactly what was going to happen. And I was like, I what am I supposed to do now? I always listen to stuff when I'm eating breakfast. What am I supposed to do now? And I went to YU Torah. And for the longest time, I have had such respect and admiration for him, and he doesn't need my respect and admiration. I'm nothing compared to him. But I've always had tremendous respect and admiration for Moshe Weinberger. But I, in all honesty, I never connected to Shirim before. I have spent 2 weeks till 11 o'clock basically just having Rav Moshe Weinberger on in the background and just listening to amazing stories and thinking to myself, for all the things that I learned about habits and about sunlight and about sleep and about working out and hypertrophy versus strength and eccentric versus isometric versus concentric and all the things that I've taken in and all the useless comic book studio that I listen to when I want to decompress. How many stories about the Baal HaTanya, like I heard this morning, have I missed? How many stories about Rav Moshe Weinberger's father, Zatzal, did I miss? How many Torahs about Elul did I miss last year? that I'm only going to start to get this year. How many did I miss? Because I misjudged my judges and I misjudged my officers. We're all in the same boat. Nobody's putter here. We all have to do the same reflections. What's coming into our ears? Even in relative values of usefulness and meaning, what's coming into our ears? Who do we hang out with at the lunch table? And is it Lashon Tov or Lashon Hara, Chas V'Shalom? Is it Nivel Peh, Chas V'Shalom? Is it Mutter? Is it Torah? Who am I sitting with around the lunch table? At college, with my friends, in the apartment? Who am I sitting with in the lunchroom? To guard our eyes, to guard our ears, to guard our mouth. It's the time of year also, yeah, to do those reflections. Again, and I don't say this just as a disclaimer, I mean it, because I've learned what it means. That if a person is in a positive and healthy psychological place with food, if that's true, then yeah, it's a time to do a cheshbon nefesh about food. It's time to really think and reflect. How are we eating? You know me, I'm always thinking about food. Constantly, 100% of the day, I'm always thinking about food. So I moved on, and again, this is all part of like the cheshbon nefesh to make in our lives. I did a cheshbon, and over the last couple of months, I've moved from what I realized was really pathetic calisthenics to really intense work in the gym. And I've learned a lot, and you know me, when I get into something, I can do a deep dive. So I spent the last 2 months learning everything there is to know about how to properly work out in the gym and everything around that and everything beyond that. And so now I'm eating my body weight, body weight in pounds. I'm eating grams of protein, and like it's my whole relationship to food is shifting because I now have to think about food in a different way. I was always thinking about the quality, but not necessarily the quantity in the same way. But this is a cheshbon for me. All of us, it's Zoom. I can't ask you to throw up hands and to share with what you want to share. So I'm just sharing for me because I want it to be practical. I want it to be real. This time of year, I'm very much thinking about. I've been so focused on the last 2 months, focused on quantity. I've let quality slip a little bit. Don't worry, I'm still not drinking Coke. A little bit, only a little bit. I've let quality slip a little bit because I'm struggling to hit the quantity that I've never had to meet before in a way that I never thought I could possibly consume. And to make sure that I'm only consuming what I need to consume for the purpose of working out, which should only be for the purpose of Avodah Hashem to keep my body healthy, which are all cheshbonos that all come together. Everything's back to the same question, is it directed toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? And whenever you make these shifts in life, I have to ask myself, you have to ask yourself, we have to ask ourselves, is it in line with my Avodah Hashem? What am I putting in my mouth and why? What am I doing? And why am I eating it? When I sit down in front of 18 pieces of chicken breast, why am I here? Not really that many, but I'm saying like, you got to ask, like, why am I here? What am I doing? Is this meaningful or is it not? Is it wasteful? Is there not? Is it meaningful to my life, my avodas Hashem, or is it all shtiyot? What am I doing here? What am I doing here? What am I spending my time on? What am I spending my energy on? What am I putting into my mouth? What am I letting into the shower of my mouth? Am I fixing chedadam arishon or am I repeating chedadam arishon? Am I eating l'shem shamayim or am I eating l'shem my stomach? Think about it. Again, if we're in a healthy psychological place, spend your whole life thinking about it. My ears, my eyes, the nose is a whole different discussion for a different time. Those of you who have listened to my shiurim in the past. Whole different discussion on time. But also the nose. And certainly touch. For those of us who in any way, shape, or form, bizman hazeh, any geder that you make in terms of touch, is so, so, so important. And anything you've been successful at in maintaining strong gedarim in the realm of negia is schar ad blidai in olam haba. And now is the time to ask, is this the line? Is that my line or can I move my line? Can I move my line to be a little more restrictive? Am I ready to be a little bit more kadosh? Am I ready? Do I want to try? Now is the time to ask. Am I ready to guard those sha'arim a little bit more? Am I ready? Because I might be. And I'm old, old friends with the judges and the officers that have been hanging around my fingertips for the last few years. And it's going to be very, very hard to relieve them of their duties. But it might be time. It might be time to move that line back. To move from hugging to handshaking or high-fiving. If you're at high-fiving and handshaking, to maybe move to saying nothing at all. Wherever you're holding, no judgments. Now's the time for each of us. Titen lecha b'chol sharecha. He didn't tell me to tell you. The Torah is talking to you. The Torah is telling you it's time to reevaluate all of our judges, all of our officers, and to really think, who do I want to be? Where am I going? Are they where they're supposed to be? Let's keep going in the paragraph. If anybody has any thoughts or comments, as always, throw up a hand or you can put in the chat. You can even do it anonymously in the chat below, and I'm happy to respond. So he says here, continuing on, and we spoke at this out, so we'll go through it quickly. So too by the nose. Again, also what we're being nana with our af, with our nose, to what we're to be to have gates there as well. There's things that are usher. I personally gag when I smell perfume. So if I pass somebody wearing perfume, I breathe it out anyway, the chemicals. But I'm saying, like, are you turning your head and looking at the girl because you smelled it in? Are you smelling? And again, there's no isser necessarily. You're smelling in the beautiful reach of non-kosher food when you pass by a non-kosher restaurant. Again, there's nothing necessarily usser about that. But what am I bringing inside of me? Am I waiting? Am I longing to fill the mitzvah of besamim on Motzei Shabbos Kodesh? To be able to say the bracha, to get the bracha from the smell? Am I investing in a beautiful besamim box and beautiful brand new besamim? Not like, you know, we're all in the same boat. It's Elul, right? Not the besamim I bought 3 years ago where, like, if I, like, crush it a little bit harder with my thumb right before the bracha, I hope to get a little bit more of a sniff out of it, you know? Or am I like, you know, Rav Allen, who's walking around with 18 types of besamim on him at all times, you know? And, like, and adding a bracha, you know? Like, where am I holding in that? Where's my focus? On the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world and smell and saying the proper bracha. I'm learning the proper different brachas of smell. Where am I holding? Even by smell. V'chein b'peh, so two in our mouths. Yish achila shel mitzvah, there's eating that's a mitzvah. V'yish achila shel isser, and there's eating that's aser. V'yishnam achilot heter, and there's eating of heter. V'chein b'diburim shemot seipiv, and also what comes out of my mouth. There's things that are mutter to say and things that are aser to say. Yishnam diburim mitzvah v'diburim isser v'diburim heter. Next paragraph. V'achlal b'kol zeh, and what comes out of all of this is, who shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol sharecha. We have a responsibility to put judges and to put officers in all of our gates. Shebechol ha-she'arim sarich shiyulo shoftim v'shotrim. In every gate there have to be judges and officers. Shofet morel inyan ha-hitbonenut ha-sichlit. What does it mean to have a judge? That's my mind. That's my power of reflection. Right, we've talked about also so many times in the past. My Rebbe was talking about this 20 years ago. The lost art of hitbonenut. The lost art of reflection. That we don't reflect on things anymore. The shofet's job, the judge in all theirs, it means that we need to be reflective, to actually give it time and effort and energy inside of ourselves to think, to really, really reflect on it. The Navi Yeshayahu says, Parshat Chazon, which led into Tisha B'Av, which is what got us here to our tshuva state, coming into Elul. Ami lo hitbonan. The Navi was yelling about this thousands of years ago, not very 20 years ago. Thousands of years ago. My people are not reflective. And if we're not reflective, there's no way to lead a meaningful life. Because you're either just letting things come in one ear and go out the other. There's nothing happening bichlal. You're just, you're Yotzei the Zman of sitting in a shir and you get schar and olam haba, but nothing happened inside. Or it comes in, but it's not going anywhere. It's staying inside of you, but we're not processing it properly. And we're not getting to where we need. And that's when you put up the wrong shofet, you put up the wrong shoter. Because we're not reflecting on the emes of things. Do I really still need this in my life? Last year, I convinced myself that this was mutter. But is it really mutter or is it really usser? Last year, I convinced myself I needed this just to be normal and healthy. But am I the same person I was a year ago? And did I really make the right and honest call a year ago? The only way we can make the real call, the only way we can grow as a person, the only way we can express the true person who we are inside, is with reflection. It's not sufficient to just sit here with the Nesivo Shalom for 45 minutes. It's about taking it the next day, the next day, the next day. This whole week and saying, I'm dedicating one day
Tomorrow, my goal is in every free moment I'm reflecting on, what are my shoftim and shochim for my eyes for this year? And the next day, what are my shoftim and shochim for my ears this year? But thinking it through, write it down, think it out, and be honest with yourself. You can outsmart anyone you talk to. You can give them any rationalization that you want, and eventually you'll convince them. And honestly, you give yourself any rationalization, eventually you will convince yourself. You have to have a real good judge. And the only one who truly is able to judge you, be'emes, other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is you. And that requires a brutal level of self-honesty and self-reflection. But that's the only way to get there. And that's what the shofet is. That's you living up to being your own shofet. Beautiful thought. I see it. Beautiful thought. That's what it means to be mitbonen. And that's what we need to do. That's the shofet. And what's the shoter that we have to appoint? The shoter morel gedarim v'siyagim. The shoter, the officers, those are the limits. Those are the boundaries. Kedeita v'torah savos, as it says, the Sfonimer says, ala pasuk, gader mizeh v'gader mizeh. V'tachaleitz regel Bil'am, that when Bil'am's riding on the donkey, and the donkey sees the malach in the way, so there was a fence on one side and a fence on the other side, and he tried to go around the malach, and it scraped Bil'am's lug against the fence. Sheyudit tzarish yelo gader mizeh v'gader mizeh. That's telling us, the Torah on a deeper level is telling us, we need a fence all around us. Gedarim v'siyagim, we need fences and boundaries. Shebechol mashu kechuta se'ara sheneheneh mizeh ha'olam. Yaseh la'atzmo gedarim v'siyagim shelo yitgashem v'yitaveh mikach. That any time, he says, that we engage the physical world, we need those fences up. Because the second that I go and immerse myself in the physical, it's not us, sir. We need to live in the physical world. That's fine. But the second we enter the physical world, we're entering into a very dangerous reality where we can very easily be drawn into, sink into that physicality. And the only way we can confidently know that we are properly engaged in the physical is when we set up those boundaries in advance. And any time I go to the physical, gader mizeh v'gader mizeh. That's the only way to know. I feel so much more confident that I'm eating properly in L'shem Shamayim for the next 2 weeks. Because Miri's taking 2 weeks off. She's the head of the kitchen here at Leif. She's taking 2 weeks off. So we have a good relationship. So I went to the kitchen this morning and I took out 14 tins. And I filled up 14 tins with the exact macros that I needed for what I need for the next, every day for the next 2 weeks, no more, no less. And I'm going to take that tin out, put it in the oven, heat it up, and that's what I'm going to eat. But that was a real good wake-up call when there's not a buffet in front of you. How much do I need? What am I going to choose? Why am I going to choose it? And looking at those 15 meals in front of me on that cart when I was done, before I, you know, put the tops on and put them in the freezer, that's a real moment, if you want it to be, of cheshbon ha-nefesh. This is what's coming into my body for the next 2 weeks. Is this what I want to literally become part of me? Are these the choices that I'm making? And it was hard to say no to the deli roll. But I did most of the time. I snuck in one every once in a while. And I don't know where they're coming because they're not labeled, so we'll never know. But like, meaning that that's a question that I asked myself. And so I said, you know what? Yeah, you never know. So I'm saying like meaning it's and that for me, I was like, okay, I'm going to put one in, a couple of them is, you know, enjoy a little bit. It's mutter, it's kosher, it's good. Maybe that was a mistake. Maybe when I go to that, I'll take it out and I'll heat it up and I'll give it to somebody else. I'll put it out on the table. But to look at it and say, this is the tin, this is it. These are the boundaries. On a more, it's not, it was, I meant that very seriously, but on a deeper and more serious level, right? When I go out, and I'm going to hang out in college, when I'm going to work, right? There's people here in all stages of life. When I'm going to college, when I'm going to the Chadar Ochel, when I'm going to Shanabet, when I'm going to work, when I'm going to out with coworkers, when I'm going to be in the office, whatever the case may be, there's many people in different stages of life. What are my boundaries in the Giyah before I get into that situation? What are my boundaries in Shmia before I get into the situation? Abby just got into the car. I know that Abby's a reflective person. Before she got into the car, I know she's going to ask herself, "What? I'm not just going to turn on the radio and then see what's on. She's going to think to herself beforehand, what am I going to put on?" Right? I know, so you're driving passenger, so you can't decide, but that's fine. I trust you. Right? You're with good people, I'm sure. But I'm saying, those are real questions. Beforehand, what are my borders? What are my boundaries? Once we're already in it, it's too late. Once I'm already sifting through the endless scrolling bars of Netflix trying to find a show that I'm definitely not going to enjoy, it's too late. I'm done. It's already 3 hours later. I've already binged, and it was already something I wasn't supposed to watch. It's already done because there was no advanced intent. If I'm ever going to touch the physical world, what are the limitations? I asked myself the other day, what are my limitations on this phone? And the answer was, it doesn't need to be 8 o'clock. It can be 11 a.m., not 8 a.m. And suddenly I've listened to 10 Rabbi Weinberger Shirim. My life is different. My life, the quality and meaning of my life changed. Because before I immersed myself in the physical world called phone, because most of our lives are lived on a phone anyway, before I immersed myself in the physical world, I asked myself, what are my borders? What are my boundaries? And I moved them. And my life was elevated. Gader mizeh v'gader mizeh. And that's on both. It goes on at 11 and it goes off at 10. There's gader on both sides, not to worry. Gader mizeh v'gader mizeh. Constantly asking ourselves. And specifically these big moments of these shifts in the year. Going into the new year. Going into Elul. Shofet. The reflection. Shoter. Make sure that there's proper boundaries, there's proper guardrails all around me if I'm going to touch the physical world. The Az Techaleis Regel Bilam, and the Pasuk said, and Bilam's leg scraped against it. Wow. I don't know how we don't do this every day. That he overcomes every hergel in Shel Bilam. He just read that the regal of Bilam scraped against it. He says the only way to subjugate the regularity with which we interact with the tumah that's embodied by Bilam is to put up fences. That's how we combat the regularity and the insensitivity that we have when coming into Kaga Bilam, is by putting up those fences where he scrapes against them and is kept out. That's what the Pasuk is teaching us on a deeper level. The only way to keep it out, the only way to keep out the Sitra Acha, the only way to keep out the Yitzhar Hara, the only way to keep out sin, the only way to keep out Avera and Tumah, is to put up those fences. That's the Shotrim. Od Nichlal Bashotrim, also included in Shotrim, She'inyanam L'chapot L'kayim Mitzvata Shofet. The other job of the shoter is to mamish, is to fulfill the goal of the shofet. And the shofet judges what's bad. What does the shoter do? The shoter, the officer, goes out and has to go and nebach lo alinu, if necessary, if there's a real, you know, rush out there who's hurting people, to take out, if he's got to, the taser, to take out the stick, whatever it takes. If there's nebuch, if there's a real rush out there who needs to be stopped, he's got to stop him. That's the shofet made the law, and the shoter's got to enforce it. The shoter is the part of us that's to go and beat the yitzhahara into submission. Because the yitzhahara is not going to let us go. The shoter is meant to put up defenses, but also, when the yitzhahara tries to burst through them, tries to break them down, tries to violate them, to beat down that yitzhahara. And that is a hard job. And it's a constant battle, as we've talked about. But it needs to happen. As the Slonimer says, She'ief shar la'akore tara, top of the next column, She'ief shar la'akore tara b'sichliut greda. You can't remove ra with thought. You can't outthink ra. You will be a very, very intelligent, very tumadik sinner, but very smart. Very, very smart. That's where you're going to be. The kamashi asi gadlut besichlo ein zemo ila akora tara. You can mamish grasp the most amazing things with your mind, but it's not going to uproot ra. Ve'ini tzayel lachnia tara befoal al rito. The only way is to mamish beat it down. You have to live it, right? That's the famous story of I don't know if it's a true story, this one, but the famous story of the
the college professor in ethics. And so he's teaching all of these things in ethics, and the student sees him outside after one of the classes, and he was jaywalking or something, like he was doing something against the law. And he said, "You're an ethics professor. How could you go and violate the law?" Shalom. How could you go and violate the law? He says, "What are you talking about? I'm a professor of ethics. Doesn't mean that I have to live them." Much of the secular world dysfunctions that way. That's not uncommon. And it's the opposite of what it means to be a Jew. It's mamish the opposite of what it means to be a Jew. I am positive that the only reason why I have accomplished anything in my Avodas Hashem is because of all of you. Because I was designated to go and be the one to sit here and read the words and translate them and explain them and sound like I keep them. I obsess every week before I teach and after I teach. Am I living up to everything that came out of my mouth? Because if not, I have no right to say them. I don't care if I'm just reading and translating the words. That's for all of us, so everybody here is giving Divrei Torah, I'm sure. You're giving Divrei Torah, you're thinking in Torah, you're speaking in Torah, you're living in Torah. Jews, we can't live in our minds. The mind is not sufficient. And the only way to overcome the Yetzer Hara is to reflect, to appoint those judges, to reflect, to appoint those officers, to enact, and to follow it through and actually defeat, beat down, fight that Yetzer Hara. Torah doesn't just live in the mind. It has to get to the heart, and it has to get to the body. It has to be your whole life. Kehem chayinu v'orach yaminu. It has to be your whole life. Eitz chayim hi. L'machazikim ba. It's only an Eitz chayim if it's real and it's alive and your mom is holding on to it. Eitz chayim hi l'machazikim ba. Ukeomro. Od sheyom sheyudi lo asabo keneged ritzono. Eino nechshav ki yom b'chayim. And he says that mamish, if you spend a day of your life and you don't fight the Yitzhara, you mamish haven't lived that day. If there was no moment where you fought your Yitzhara that day, you mamish haven't lived. The day may as well have just passed. It did just pass. Nothing happened. Ukemoshe Zipir Maran, as the Slonimer says, Ala Beit Yosef HaKadosh Shayaholech Im Sak Avanim Kashur Al Gabo, that the Slonimer says about the Beit Yosef HaKadosh, I've never heard the story, that he would walk with a sack of stones on his back, kedei lachnia et orpo kasheh, to physically remind him to continuously break being a stiff-necked person. He would have stones on him, evidently, and maybe not all the time. I don't know the content of the story. Instead of the Beis Yosef, they would have stones on his back and on his neck to put weight to make him. To remind him not to be so stiff-necked, not to be so sure, not to have so much ego, not to be so sure of himself. The Hainu Shafilu Hu Begodel Madregato Harama Yatzarich Livchinat Shotrim. Even the Beis Yosef, who was on that level, needed Shotrim. Kirak al Yedesha Adam Shoverat Chomro. Only by breaking down our physicality, Hariu Machnia Veshoverat Akoa Harashibo, can a person subjugate the Ra that's inside of them. V'zeu shoftim v'shotrim titen lacha. This is what it means to put judges and officers. Lishpot mahu liratzon Hashem umahu neged ratzon Hashem. To judge what is ratzon Hashem and what's not ratzon Hashem. B'chol sharecha and all of your gates. V'chai Adam says it so beautifully. You open up the first halacha in the Chai Adam. And the Chai Adam was Sfardi. So when he gave over halacha, he also gave over hashkafa. It's all the same. So beautiful the way he frames it. The whole open, you have to read it. The Aleph of the Chai Adam. So beautiful. He goes in there and talks about the six constant mitzvot and the fact that we can always be engaged in the Avodas Hashem. And there, like a Sfardi, he says as follows. He says, life is so simple. Life comes down to a simple question. He says this black on white. I wish I had it in front of me. Black on white. He says, ask yourself, is this Avodas Hashem? If the answer is yes, then do it. If the answer is no, then don't do it. And everything else is perush. That's it. That's life. Life in one sentence. If it's avodah Hashem, do it. And if it's not avodah Hashem, don't do it. Zehu. That's it. V'idach zil gemor. Right? That's not what Hillel said, but it's the same idea. V'idach zil gemor. That's it. That's all of life. How do you know?
Your shoftim and your shotrim, that's how you know. Your judges and your officers, that's how you know. Every moment, is this Ratzon Hashem? Is this Ratzon Hashem? Is this Ratzon Hashem? Should this be coming into my eyes? Should this be coming into my ears? Should this be coming into my nose? Should it be coming into my mouth? Should I be touching this? Should I be thinking about this? Should I be internalizing this? Should I be processing this? Should I be living this? Shoftim v'shotrim, this is it. This is it. Is it Ratzon Hashem or is it not Ratzon Hashem? Zehu. The end. Halavai, we live a life like that. We're done. We've answered all the questions. B'chol shar misharei degulata, on every single shar of our lives, and every single shar of our head, shebekulam sarichim shoftim lehachria b'sichlut avana. We need judges in order to determine things with clarity and understanding. And we needed shotrim, we need officers to subjugate the ra and to subjugate it for Ratzon Hashem. So we're at time. We're over time, actually. That was such powerful ideas. Such powerful not ideas, realities, Torahs, emes, for this parsha and this time of the year. Again, not looking back in a negative way. We don't need to look back and we're so focused on Al-Chait, 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 Al-Chait. That's all we can think about this time of year. The only day of Al-Chait is Yom Kippur. And Baruch Hashem, as Jews with Jewish guilt, we start like Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's not all Al-Chaits. Not even Rosh Hashanah, like Rosh Hashanah, do tshuva. It's like, no, there's no Al-Chait. In the whole tefillah, there's no Al-Chaits on Rosh Hashanah. There's no tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. There's Malchus on Rosh Hashanah. Forget the Al-Chaits for a second. Without the net, we don't need the guilt to do this. We need to be Jews who are thinking Jews, who care about Torah, who care about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who care about Avodas Hashem, who care ultimately about our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's it. And to look back critically, not at myself, but critically at my choices, and to ask myself in a positive but critical way, have I grown this year? Have I developed this year? It's been 11 months since Rosh Hashanah when I took on all of my New Year's resolutions last first of Tishrei. It's been 11 months. Did I grow? For me, literally and metaphorically. I meant it metaphorically, but I guess me literally too. Did I sign up for the gym and then not go after a week? Did I sign up for, so to speak, did I sign up for Lashon Hara and not and stop showing up after a week? Did I sign up for Nagiyah and stop showing up after a week? Did I sign up for learning and did I not show up my Chavrusa after a week? Did I sign up for Shirim and not listen after a week? Now I'm to ask, not in a way where I have to beat myself down, we have enough issues with self-esteem, Isman Hazeh. But to say, did I live up to everything? And here's the catch. Let's say I did. I succeeded in my goals. To continue the gym mashal, that's where my head is. Progressive overload, that's how you get stronger. If you've been at the same thing all year, if you've at the same level of Avodas Hashem all year, you're not growing anymore. It's time to up it. It's time to push harder. It's time to push further. That's what it means to be a Jew, is to never be, we talked about this Before Tisha B'Av, it's never okay to be happy with the status quo in all levels. So even if I succeeded, and maybe Davka if I succeeded, it's time to look at those shoftim, look at those shotrim, shake their hands, give them a hug, if they're the same gender, give them a kiss on the cheek. Say, you did great, but it's time to relieve you of your duties. Because it's a new year, and I need new shoftim and new shotrim. It's time to see things in a new way and be honest with everything I've accomplished over the course of the year, thanks to you, my former shoftim and shotrim, and to move it forward, higher fences, stronger fences, to think critically with my shoftim, to bring in new, stronger, more dedicated, more strict shotrim, and through that, restrict my arena of Avodas Hashem, not to limit myself, but so that way I can live with even more intensity of Avodas Hashem within the confines of the unity with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that I have in the confined space of Yichud with just me and him in my life, by cutting out all of the garbage, all the physicality, all the noise. I'm really putting up those gates, but I'm not locking myself in and locking out the world. I'm cutting off all distractions to laser focus on the only thing that matters, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us in the schus of all of the, again, three of you, the wonderful sponsor of the shir. Thank you again for sponsoring. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should, in your schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us, that we should be able to do that cheshbon nefesh and that hibonanut and be honest with ourselves, to replace those shoftim and those shotrim and reach even higher than we ever reached before, and through that elevate ourselves already in Elul, to bring ourselves to a Rosh Hashanah where we're ready to be that person, to live a whole new year on a whole nother level. And to that, bring about Mashiach Tzidkenu and Binyan HaBeit HaMikdash Bayit Shlishi Bezrat Hashem V'Yemeinu Amen. Shkoach, everybody. Thank you so much.